All right, I'd like everyone to take a pen. You can take your Bibles out, but take a pen and a piece of paper out or something to write on, you know, unless you've got one of those fancy tablets or something and you can write on that or type into it. But the first question that you need to answer on your pen and piece of paper tonight, first question is, what is your purpose in life? All right, so that's your first question you need to answer. Anybody need some pens? There's a couple of Citizens Bank pens up here. Maybe you can write your answer down on. If you're willing to come all the way up here and get it, there's two up here. All right, so the first question you got to answer is, what is your purpose in life? Okay, if you're done with that question, you can start answering the second. How are you preparing your life to accomplish that purpose? Or you can answer it, you can answer the question, how are you accomplishing that purpose? How are you preparing your life to accomplish that purpose, or how are you accomplishing that purpose? That's question number two. And then the third question has to do with the first question. Why is that your purpose? Why is that your purpose? So you get you thinking a little bit tonight. You can answer those questions. We won't collect them and read them to everyone, but it's for yourself to get you thinking. Why is that your purpose? Without a purpose, life has no direction. Without the right purpose, your life will go the wrong direction. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we see a young man who had a purpose in life. Do you have a purpose in life? Do you have the right purpose? Without the right purpose in life, your life is going to go the wrong direction. And not only that, but the eternal value of your life is going to be greatly diminished. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 29 says, "And David said, 'What have I now done? Is there not a cause?'" Here David is sent to his brethren to give them some supplies, to give them some food. And he's sent by his father, and he comes and he sees what is going on in the army. He sees Goliath standing there, defying the armies of the living God. And he realizes that something must be done about this giant who ultimately is defying the living God. You know, there were all those people in the army, but there was one young man who had the right purpose in life. You know, purposeful living, the right kind of purpose, purposeful living requires preparation. You know, David's life, there was some preparation that took place in his life. There was developing of skill in his life. You know, David came to defeat the Goliath, defeat the giant Goliath. And there was a skill that David had developed in his life that God used in defeating the giant. Now, ultimately, it was the Lord that defeated Goliath. And David was not a... David forthrightly stated that the Lord is going to deliver you into my hands. But what did the Lord use? He used a skill that David had developed. What was the skill? Well, slinging a slingshot. You know, there was a job that David had. That was taking care of the sheep. And there was a skill that David had developed, and God used that skill in defeating this giant. You know, David had another skill in his life. Chapter 16 and verse 16. It says, "Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well." Obviously, David was a very skilled player on the harp. If they were sent out to find a man for the king, to play in front of the king, and David was the one that was selected. You know, I wonder if there was a search that went out through the United States to find somebody highly skilled on an instrument or in something in life. You know, how many in this room would be chosen? Now, for many, obviously, many people are playing instruments and developing skills on an instrument for the wrong reason. It's for themselves, not to serve God. And so sometimes people are very skilled because it's, you know, and maybe they're not, you know, spending their time serving God. But, you know, there are a lot of young people today that waste a lot of time on a lot of different things because they don't have a real purpose in life. Their purpose is not to serve God. Because if they were really purposing to serve God with their life, if they recognize that, you know what, this skill that I'm developing on this instrument is so that I can honor and glorify God, so that in my worship of God, I can properly portray who God is. You know, if they really have that vision for their instrument, that this is not about me, but this is about God, how do you think they'd start to practice? How do you think they would develop that skill with that purpose? You know, David could have maybe made the excuse that he was busy. Hey, you know, I got to watch my father's sheep. Boy, I don't have time to practice this instrument. I don't have time to become skillful on this harp. And what would have happened? Well, he wouldn't have been chosen to play for the king. You know, there was a skill that he developed in his life. You know, parents, are you helping to prepare your children for purposeful living? You know, there's something else in David's life that I think helped him to be prepared for purposeful living in his preparation. And that was the developing of responsibility. David had responsibility in his life. You know, he was trusted with the sheep. He was trusted by his father to go and bring these things to his brothers. You know, you wonder, there was three brothers that went to the battle, and there were five brothers that didn't go. You know, why is it that their father chose David to go to the battle and didn't ask one of the other brothers to go? Now, we don't know why. I mean, maybe they had families. Maybe they had other things going on. We don't know exactly why. But the fact is that David had the responsibility to go. David took the responsibility to make sure that those sheep were kept with someone. There was responsibility that was developed in his life. And the greatest evidence of that responsibility is given is when he comes into the army, when he comes into the battle site, and Goliath comes out. And it says in verse number 22, "And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Notice that statement. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know, the way in which it's stated, it's as if, who is this man that he thinks he can defy the armies of the living God? And notice the responsibility that David sensed towards the name of God and what this giant was doing in defaming God's name. This was a man who had developed responsibility, and that responsibility really reaches a pinnacle when he understood the responsibility here in protecting the name of God. You know, are you developing, parents, that responsibility in your children? You know, young person, you may think, oh, I just got a homework slip. Oh, that's not that big of a deal. But it is a big deal, because you are preparing your life to live for a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify God and to bring honor to His name. You know, are you going to sense, would you be that young person like David that would run out to that army and say, whoa, what's going on here? You know, think of all the other people that were standing there, but did they have the same attitude as David? So there was responsibility here, but there's another preparation that he had. He had there's just maybe a little side note here. In verse number 20, it says, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight. And notice what he says. And shouted for the battle. I mean, David comes to his brethren, and he's not just coming with this kind of lackluster, who cares type attitude. He shouts for the battle. He comes with energy. He comes with purpose. He comes with a cause. You know, and sometimes we approach life and it's just kind of like, who cares? Big deal. You know, is that your attitude about life? Or do you be like David who came? Hey, that was some energy. He came to this battle. I mean, he rose up early in the morning. He shouted for the battle. He heard what Goliath said. He did something about it. But notice another preparation, one of the greatest preparations that David had, and that was the presence of the Lord in his life. Back in chapter 16, what took place? Chapter 16, we have the anointing of David by Samuel. In verse 8:10, again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. You know, David here was anointed to be the king. He was given this special anointing of God, this special enablement by the Spirit of God to be the king. And you say, well, that's, you know, you say, well, he had the presence of the Lord just because David was specially chosen. He had this special ability. You know, I don't have that. Well, the question is, why was David chosen? Now, obviously, we know the prophecy that it was going to be the line of Judah. But why was David chosen? Why was he anointed? I mean, what did it say chapter 16. I mean, you want to look at maybe someone who looked like they had ability. And it came to pass, verse 6, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, or at least looked like they would be the one to be the king, and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." You know, God saw what was in David's heart. And what was in David's heart? Acts chapter 13, verse number 22. Why did he choose David? Verse 22, Acts 13 and verse 22. "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." God found something in David's heart. God found a man who was going to what? Who was going to obey him. Why did David have the presence of the Lord upon his life like he did? Because he was a man who had a heart to obey God. You know, David was prepared for this confrontation with Goliath. Why? He had the presence of the Lord. He had the enablement of the Spirit of God upon his life. And what was one of the great reasons? "Because I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." You know, is that your purpose in your life, that you are going to fulfill God's will? Well, guess what? God's going to be able to use you, isn't he? David was a man of purpose. You see, I see another thing that prepared David to have this life of purpose, and that was a walk of faith. He saw God's hand at work in his life. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34. I mean, this is a familiar story here. Verse 34. "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came out a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And when I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee." Notice this walk of faith. David had already trusted God to deliver him from this lion and this bear. And this was preparation for what? For this instance with Goliath. You know, there might be some giants that you're going to be facing in your life. But there might be some preparations in your life. And you know what? You need to take those steps of faith right now that God is placing in your life, so that when the giant comes, you're prepared. And you've seen God work and you've seen what he can do. But first, we have to do it. We need to take the steps of faith that are right before us. Don't fear the giant. Don't think about the giant. God's going to prepare you. The children of Israel, God had worked in their lives. He had brought them out of Egypt. He had prepared them to cross the Jordan River. But they what? They didn't really allow themselves to go through God's educational program in his life of faith, and they failed the test. There was a preparation in walking by faith. It took courage. That lion and that bear came up against him. You know, it took courage. Requires someone who is willing to step out of their comfort zone. You know, some would have said, let them have the lamb. It's not worth risking my life for that lamb. You know, and sometimes we're willing to, that's not worth taking that risk. You know, what are we willing to risk to accomplish God's purpose. And that was a preparation of faith. So there was a preparation for purposeful living. Purposeful living requires preparation. You know, it just doesn't happen by chance. You know, purposeful living faces obstacles. David faced some obstacles. Notice, he faced obstacles from friends, from his own family, actually. Eliab, his eldest brother, what did he say to him? Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Here's some obstacles. Here's some false accusations thrown against him. You know what, young person? You want to live for God. Guess what? There's going to be people that are going to accuse you falsely. Oh, you're being proud. Oh, we really know why you're doing that. And Eliab, it came from his own what? His own brother. And he was the what? He was the youngest. You know, young person, don't be afraid to stand up for God. You know, there might be some older young people that make fun of you. There might be some people that make fun of you, but you need to what? You need to have purpose. You need to realize, you know what? If I stand up for God and I have a purpose in my life, I'm going to face some obstacles. I'm going to face some people. I might face some family members. I might face some friends. You know, and especially when you're younger. And here's David. He's being accused of pride. He's being accused of having a bad or a naughtiness, as it says in the King James, of thine heart. You just came down here to look at the battle. You just kind of came down here to have a good time. There was obstacles. It was family. He faced foes. He faced this great giant. In a sense, there was insurmountable odds. There was no one else that was going to go against this giant because there was no chance in their own strength. We find, though, lastly, a purposeful living, what does it do? It brings glory to God. You know, when you have the right purpose in your life, when you're living for the Lord, it brings glory to God. And as you read verses 45, 46, 47, notice verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. He said, in all this assembly shall know. You know, when we live with God's purpose in our life, it brings glory to God. You know, the Apostle Paul had a purpose in his life. Real quickly, turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, what does he say in verse number 12? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto death. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You know, that purpose that you wrote down on that paper, what are you willing to set aside to accomplish that purpose? Well, the Apostle Paul had a purpose. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. You know, there might be something that you're looking forward to on your schedule. And you're willing to set maybe all things aside so that you can do that one thing. You know, are we willing to do that spiritually? That we can really know the Lord Jesus Christ. That our lives might count for eternity. But verse 18, we have the opposite. You know, and he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, verse 14. But notice the opposite, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their what? Their belly. And whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. What is your purpose tonight? What really is your purpose? You know, we know what our purpose should be. We know our purpose is to serve God. Our purpose is to honor and glorify God. Paul lived that he might know the excellent Jesus Christ. But yet, is that really our purpose? You know, it's going to take choices. It's going to take preparation. There's going to be obstacles. But ultimately, it's going to what? It's going to glorify God. And it is a purpose that is worth living for. Are you a person that has the right purpose? Parents, are you preparing your children for the purpose that God has for their life? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would work in our lives. And Lord, that we would be people that have a cause that we are living for. And Lord, may it be your cause. And Lord, that we would be willing to put things out of our life. Lord, that even as Paul, he counted things but dung. Lord, it's so easy to put things in our lives that are unimportant. Lord, I pray tonight that each one of us would be challenged. And Lord, even now we would be willing to be confronted by the Spirit of God. And Lord, that we would be able to set those things aside, Lord, that are hindering us from accomplishing your purpose for our lives. Lord, that parents would be willing to make those choices for their children that are going to prepare their children's lives for the purpose that you have. Lord, that responsibility would not be shirked, but it would be welcomed. So that we can fulfill the purpose that you have for us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.